Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
But first to that news that KBC Bank Ireland looks set to exit the Irish market. The Belgian bank announced this morning that it is in discussions about the possible sale of its performing loan assets and liabilities to Bank of Ireland. KBC said the deal, if coupled with a separate sale of its non-performing mortgage loan portfolio, would ultimately result in the bank's withdrawal from the Irish market. Well, the news comes just weeks after Ulster Bank announced its plans to exit Ireland as well. To take a closer look at this, I'm joined now by Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson. Shortly, we'll speak to Sean Fleming, Minister of State at the Department of Finance with responsibility for financial services. But first, Piers Doherty, to you, and I'm sure you heard the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, on Morning Ireland this morning, saying that the competitive dynamic has changed. I can't pretend otherwise. But he also said that the domestic banks here still compete strongly with each other. What's your own assessment of the banking sector competition in light of this news?
Look, there's no way around this. This is a serious blow to competition within the Irish market. It follows on the heels of Ulster Bank's decision, where really we only have two commercial lenders in the state, that being AIB and Bank of Ireland. And in relation to the mortgage market, we had four banks with Permanent TSB joining the big two and KBC, and now we're down to three banks with the two larger banks basically dominating that space. So competition has been severely impacted as a result of this year. It's way out of kilter as to what's happening in other European countries. And while you've had the entry into the market from Avantcard, it's a small player and not at the level of offerings that the likes of KBC are offering. So this is a major blow. There's huge issues within banking. We're still seeing the aftermath of the financial crash, where banks are asked to carry additional capital as a result of that light touch regulation during that period and the bust that followed. And now there's huge questions for the staff, for competition. And particularly, I think Bank of Ireland needs to answer a question whether it was them that instigated this manoeuvre or whether it was KBC that decided to leave the market.
Why is that significant?
Well, I think it would be highly inappropriate if it was Bank of Ireland that actually tried to consolidate its position, tried to reduce competition within the state. And I say that because Bank of Ireland has been bailed out, only survives today because of the injection of billions of euro during the time of the crash. And also because while he is a minority shareholder, the state, through Pascal Donoghue, is the largest shareholder in that bank. And what we see from communication from KBC to its employees this morning, and indeed the interview in Morning Ireland, it does suggest that there was an offer made by Bank of Ireland. And I think if that was the case, that is quite significant and very disappointing.
Okay, well, we have sought an answer on that question from Bank of Ireland. So if we get that, we'll bring it to our listeners. Just on the mortgage holder aspect of this, from their point of view, Pascal Donoghue said that whatever happens to KBC's non-performing loans, anyone who might end up owning those, they must respect the terms upon which the loan was made. So there would be no change. Are you satisfied that there's enough protection in place?
Yeah, there's no change for the agreement that is there at that point in time. But, you know, your listeners need to understand that KBC has about 9 billion euro of performing loans that they plan to sell to Bank of Ireland, but about 1.4 billion euro of non-performing loans. So about one in six loans are non-performing. And many of those, or more of those, have become non-performing during the pandemic. So people are really worried. And the thing I can say to them is that if their loan does transfer to a vulture fund, which is what KBC are probably looking at, then the terms and conditions that apply as and now will also apply then. But the problem is, if they're a non-performing loan, they're likely to have a short-term arrangement, for example, paying interest only at this point in time. When that is up for review in 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year, whatever agreement they have at this point in time, then the vulture can call in the entire loan. They can repossess the house, and a bank can do the same thing. The difference is a bank doesn't do that because it usually has a long-term interest in the state and wants not just your mortgage, but also your other lending for your holidays or for your third level colleges and so on and so forth. So it doesn't do that. But with a vulture, it doesn't have a long-term interest. And that's why mortgages, which are long-term products, should never be sold, in my view, to vultures. And that's where the real danger exists.
And the banking industry would say that it's nigh on impossible to repossess a house in this country. And they've made that point on this programme.
It's not impossible. It just takes longer. But it's happening. And it's happened for thousands of people. And, you know, unfortunately, and banks will repossess, and banks should have the ability to repossess. But the difference is, as I said, is that vultures don't have an interest here. They have a short-term interest to make the quickest profit possible, right, and then turn around. And that's why I think it's crucial, just to finish this point, that what if this sale does go through, that Bank of Ireland take up the entire loan book, non-performing and performing.
Not just
as well,
the performing ones. Well, Sean Fleming is with us, as I said, Minister of State at the Department of Finance. You're very welcome to the programme. I just want to get your take on what this actually means, because your own colleague, Michael McGrath, Minister for Public Expenditure, said this morning this is a worrying signal for competition. Fine Gael's Regina Doherty saying no competition, not sustainable. The Minister for Finance seems less concerned, although he did concede there was an issue with competition, but he felt the two main banks would carry on competing with each other in a way that would be helpful to consumers and continue to be. What's your own take?
It goes without saying that if there is a withdrawal of a bank, there is some reduction in competition. However, I will say, and in relation just to the competition issue, but before I say that, it was a shock, this announcement this morning. KBC must engage with their staff. I was very disappointed in their statement that they issued their joint statement. There was no mention of staff whatever in the statement. They mentioned their customers and their banks and themselves. No mention of their staff, almost 1,300 people. So they must immediately engage with their staff. They were very remiss or casual about their staff, and that must be addressed this morning by them directly by talking to staff representatives. Mm-hmm. Now, in relation to the competition, yes, it has inevitably some impact because they did have 10 to 12% of the banking market in Ireland. However, they were one of the banks that operated a lot of their accounts digitally. They didn't have a big branch network. They had only 12 hubs around the country. So a lot of their activity was actually online. So from that point of view, there is always opportunity for more online mortgages to be issued by other people. However, everybody will be concerned this morning that between Bank of Ireland and AIB, we're back to a duopoly. The only issue I would say on that is there is what I would call a very good, strong competitor in the field now. Permanent TSB, as you know from recent events with Ulster Bank withdrawing, are in negotiation with NatWest in respect of Ulster Bank, and we could have a much stronger permanent TSB who may incorporate a lot of the Ulster banking facilities here as well, and customers and asset base. So we might have a much stronger third force in banking, which we certainly have never had in recent times. So that
don't worry, you're saying instead of two, we'll have three.
Yeah, and three is better than two.
Now, on the issue of raised by Piers Doherty there about Bank of Ireland cherry picking the performing loans, do you think that they should also take the non-performing loans so that those consumers can be equally protected?
It would be better if all the loans, and you know, I think the figures are 85 to 90% loans are performing. The other 15% are the difficulties, and there has been a lot of high-profile publicity in relation to how difficult the bank has had to repossess some property. I'm very pleased that Sinn Féin have said banks should be able to repossess properties. He's right in that it should be a very last resort, but it has proved difficult, and I will say that in some situations it has caused difficulties for the banks to repossess. Those cases where people just won't cooperate. A person who loses their job has an income issue, and that's a couple of years. The bank should always give forbearance and wait. But people who, and there is a percentage of people, minority, who don't cooperate.
And can you answer Piers Doherty's question on whether Bank of Ireland went after KBC, or did KBC invite Bank of Ireland to buy it?
The answer is, I don't have a definite answer to that. We will have that for yourselves and the public this morning. As soon as the programme is over, I'll make sure you have a definitive answer that you'll be able to confirm that on air during the course of your programme this morning. But this looks like to me, it was the KBC group at European level essentially have called a decision on this matter. I don't think it was inspired within the state, this decision for KBC to pull out. It looks to me as clearly it was a decision made at European level. And Minister Donoghue has made the point, and he's chair of the Eurogroup of Ministers. A lot of the major banks are scaling back their activities worldwide in some of the smaller economies and concentrating on the bigger economies. And there has been a lot of bank closures in America and Asia and lots of and in Europe over the last couple of years. So this is important that I think it was a European led decision rather than an Irish decision.
Okay,
but I will get that confirmed for you immediately I come off air.
Okay, and Piers, do you agree that that's likely to have been the case?
Look, as I said, we just need clarity on this here, and I'm looking at the communication that was sent by KBC to its staff this morning after the announcement, after the staff heard on RTE of this, and it basically says that in the context of the recent offer by Bank of Ireland, it is such that KBC must give it full consideration. So it doesn't appear from what was said by the CEO this morning that it was instigated by them. And look, it's important, but I'm not sure it's going to change the dynamic because there is an agreement there, but I think it would be very bad form. I think that the minister should make his views known in this if that were the case, because, you know, while it may be in the interest of Bank of Ireland, it's definitely not in the interest of banking. And again, you know, we've been calling now for quite some time, and I know the union that represents workers in banks have been calling for a forum on banking, and okay. I would appeal to the minister that needs to be established without delay. We need to have a proper conversation in relation to banking into the future of this island, how we encourage competition, how we ensure that they are robust, and how we ensure that we're not being...
Okay, so on banking. Minister Fleming, can I get your view on that? Because
absolutely.
That's something that Labour has been calling for as well.
Absolutely, and I've met with the Financial Services Union on that matter and spoken in the Dáil, and we're very clear we would support a forum on banking. We would like everybody involved, consumers, banks, the entire industry, staff representatives, to come with proposals to the Department of Finance in relation to any legislative changes. I don't think the Department of Finance should lead that. It should come from the people involved, and we will certainly take on board everything they come forward with.
See, the Central Bank have a different view. They believe that they should be involved and the Department of Finance, and I think it's regrettable that we're not having an inclusive forum for banking because, you know, having other partners discuss this and then, you know, the key people not being in the room, which is the Department of Finance, which will eventually make decisions, and the Central Bank really diminishes the importance of that.
If as a result of a banking forum there's required to be changed in legislation, I think that should be done by the Oireachtas, led by the government with the support of the Oireachtas.
Okay.
And we can't come in with a done deal to the Oireachtas, and that's why the Oireachtas should have the final.
All right, Sean Fleming, you're going to stay with us. Piers Doherty, on a separate issue, the Data Protection Commissioner has written to your party, Sinn Féin, with a series of questions about reports in the Irish Independent saying that your party elicits information from Facebook and you cross-reference it with the electoral register to identify where certain people, potential voters, live. Is that what you were doing, you and your party?
No, look, this is a story that's been blown out of all proportion. The database that the Independent refers to is the electoral register. The electoral register is available to every TD. It's provided to us. Indeed, the Oireachtas provides the electoral register to us, and many parties may use hard copies of the electoral register. We have an online version, and there's commercial software that does exactly the same thing. Indeed, the company that provides that commercial software was actually launched by the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, a number of years ago. So this
That's
is normal.
The one that it's you're using, is it?
No, we have our own. They sell it, basically, and political parties and candidates can use it. And indeed, candidates, you know, you can see it online, candidates from Fianna Fáil and that have used their version in the past. And it's that version is in compliance with GDPR, and so is our version in compliance with
GDPR. So your version, which I think is called a BOO, isn't it, that you get the electoral register and then you're supplementing it with information from Facebook?
No, this is a register. The electoral register is used, and the reason why you can use it and why it's provided to TDs is because to use it for electoral purposes. Every party, every candidate does that.
No, I know that.
So
I
therefore,
know,
we
people
use
know
it
what
in
the
terms
electoral
of voter
register
intention.
Is.
When somebody tells you that they are going to vote for the party, then it can be recorded in relation to that. Indeed, some person might say that they'll need a lift to the polling station and therefore you organise a lift for them. And that's what happens in Sinn Féin. It happens in other areas, as I said, in other parties. And our system is an online system.
And they
the
might
Data
make
Protection Commissioner has wrote to us, as you said, and we'll correspond him back with the Data Protection Commissioner. But we're very satisfied that we're in complete compliance with GDPR.
Okay.
And indeed, this whole issue has been debated during the passage of the 2018 legislation in the Oireachtas in relation to the electoral register, how political parties use it, and its compliance with GDPR. And it's there for anybody to see.
So if I say something on Facebook, is Sinn Féin watching that and using that information to put a tick beside my name or not on the electoral register?
No. That's nonsense. Like, you know, the idea that Sinn Féin are scanning Facebook for people's comments, like, that's not what this is, as I said, and that's absolutely nonsense. There is no data harvesting in relation to that going on.
Okay, Piers Doherty, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to be discussing that further, by the way, in the gathering a little bit later on. Sean Fleming, as I said, is staying with us, and I'm joined on the line by Sven Pollen-Behrens, who's director of the Small Firms Association. Back to the KBC issue, the possible departure of the bank, Sven. That means there'll be little competition in the market. Would you agree?
I do agree, yeah. No, and small businesses are already dealing with a huge amount of anxiety and uncertainty at the moment, and the news this morning only adds to this anxiety. And for those businesses that are closed, you know, this pathway towards reopening seems to be getting more cumbersome by the day. We know from last year, from the reopening then, that access to finance and loans is going to be of really critical importance for small businesses. And they'd be especially looking for liquidity and working capital loans. And in that context, the lack of competition in the Irish banking sector is a real concern. The SME lending cost is already 2.5 times higher than the euro area average. And with only two or three main banks, if you want to include public DSB remaining, we don't see this improving anytime soon. And then you have other challenges in front of the backdrop of the current trends in banking. You know, digitalization from street corners to screens has an impact on small businesses as well in their day-to-day operations. But just to say, there's some good news, obviously, in Ireland as well, as we see Unpost upping their game in terms of lending, credit unions starting to offer loans to small businesses, and we have a very active non-bank lending market in Ireland that cover for businesses most of the leasing. But we need to start a review process. We need to ask the question, why are banks leaving and what can we do to improve
this? Okay, and their question, Sean Fleming, that you've said earlier that you are happy to have addressed in a banking forum.
Absolutely. All of those need to be addressed, and it's important, especially at the moment. Sven has mentioned one or two important issues. Some of the credit unions have started giving out a lot of business loans in the last couple of months through the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. That's a loan scheme that the government backs the loan 80% and there's reduced risk on the lenders. Some of the banks are doing it, but the credit unions have started doing it. So a number of those things are happening, and I think the permanent TSB Ulster Bank situation will be a stronger third bank.
All right, and you made that point. Now. Okay, all right, we're going to leave that one there because I want to turn to Owen McGee, author of How to Be Good with Money. And Owen, we want to look at this with you from a consumer point of view, because lots of people waking up this morning wondering what this news means for them and for their mortgage. Should they be worried at this point?
Absolutely not. And like, if we think about it and put this in really plain, simple terms, this is two banks talking to each other about a potential deal. Like, we are much further behind than we've ever, like, than some of these stories that have broken before. Ulster Bank a few weeks ago, it was happening. Like, if you think about how long these things take, Danske Bank announced in 2013 that they were pulling out of Ireland. And they're still here. In small portions of them are still here, but they're still here. It might be 8 years later. These things take a very, very long time. There is no need for people to be panicking about this. This is going to take a long time for one. But when something does happen, and if something does happen, if you get moved, there's the security in numbers. So you'll get moved en masse. Your mortgage will be moved over to, in this case, Bank of Ireland, if that's what happens. But your terms and conditions will go with you. And therefore, if you continue to pay your mortgage on a month-to-month basis, the terms and conditions that apply to you in KBC will still apply to you in Bank of Ireland, and therefore you've got protection there. So I will spend the weekend now, Claire, answering questions on Instagram to people who are worried about this. There is no need to worry. There's no need to panic. There's no need to make any moves. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that you should always be looking at your mortgage and your bank account and seeing where it's going and is there better options out there. But particularly people... The customer who I feel most sorry for this morning is the person who's waking up this morning, who is getting their mortgage off KBC next Tuesday or Wednesday to sign for their house. And they're going, what's going to happen?
Well, what do you tell that person?
It's business as usual. There is no reason why you wouldn't go ahead next Tuesday or Wednesday and get the keys to your house and draw down the mortgage with KBC. You will be put into the same pool. There was a reason why you went to KBC, whether it was rate or service or whatever it was, whatever decision you made, why you chose KBC, and you will get your mortgage off them next week. It's still business as usual. Now, we do have to think about the staff, and I'll come back to that in a second, but it's still business as usual. And when this or if this thing actually happens and you get moved over, you still have the same mortgage that you always had. It's just KBC's name is taken off it and Bank of Ireland's name is put on it. But the terms and conditions are exactly the same. Okay. So please don't worry and please don't panic about it.
But, you know, we have seen two players now turn their back on the Irish market. What does it say about what's going on here?
I think it's awful, Claire. Like, if you think about it, not only are we not attractive to international banks to come into Ireland, but the international banks who are already here want to get out. So we are really in a position where it just isn't, it's not lucrative for them. And let's face it, these banks are here to make money. That's what they're here to do. And they're not making money, or they're not making enough money that it's not more attractive for them to take the money that they're putting it into Ireland to put it into another market. And there are lots of reasons, and they've been touched on already. There's things like the really, really awful one, but it's the repossessions. And we need to make a decision as a society. Do we want to continue to protect that repossession situation that we have here, or do we want it to change? And if we wanted to change, it might improve rates. Or it may not. It might improve competition. It might bring other people into it. And that's something that society needs to decide and our politicians need to decide. Are we going to go after that? But then there's other elements to it as well. Like, you had Brian Hayes on a couple of weeks ago and he talked about how mortgages, switcher mortgages, are at 15% of the mortgage market right now. Like, the one thing that drives down competition and drives down rates on the mortgage market is moving from one bank to another.
And that's, we don't do that as consumers.
At the height in 2006, 2007, it was about 40% of the mortgage market. Now, think about how big the mortgage market was, but about 40% of all the mortgages being written in those years were moving from one bank to another. And if we were better at doing that, and I think that, again, needs to look at it. You're talking about a banking forum there a minute ago. Mm-hmm. We also need to look at the legal side of things. If you're in Italy, the Italian bank, an Italian bank will look at you. They have central bank rules over there the same way they do here. And your new bank will look and say, well, the last bank must have applied the central bank rules, so the underwriting is much quicker and you can switch it over. But more importantly, the legal side of things, you can do a switcher in Italy in about 6 days, they say. It takes us at least 6 weeks. So we need to look at the whole process, okay, because if we're not going to be attractive, we need to make it more attractive for the banks here to be jumping from one to the other.
Well, Owen, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get you back on and we'll do a question and answer session on switching your mortgage and all of the other things that you can do to help yourself in this situation. And we'll do that pretty soon. But for now, thank you very much for joining us. That's Owen McGee. Let's take a quick break. Back with more after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.